I can't believe she's doing this, but she started. No turning back now. I have no memories from elementary school, with the exception of one teacher's arts and craft project. Disney movies are really, really dark, and I've got a micro anxiety tip to help you get through your email. All that and more on today's show.
You are an upsider, living in gratitude, finding the positive in every experience, and helping other people do the same. Welcome to the Upside.
Upside Podcast.
With Callie and Jeff.
If this is your first episode of The Upside, welcome. If you've been here before, welcome back.
Today is Monday, August 8th. My name is Jeff Dollar, and today I am grateful for the pictures, the frame, well, pictures and posters and memorabilia and stuff that is up on the wall of the studio. It's been sitting in the corner because Callie is much better at like arranging and spacing things out than I am. And this weekend she laid it all out on the floor, put it back up, and I can see the Paul McCartney one that fell down is back up.
It fell down like four times. So I had to like extra reinforce it with some extra command strips, but it's up. And, you know, I got to get out of my own head. Like, I feel like you're like this in certain ways with work stuff, but I always with home decor stuff, I'm like, okay, I can't start it unless I'm like, it's completely done. And I know what I'm doing with the rest of the room. Like, I think Instagram makes me think that people always do their homes in like, you know, one day and everything's done. First of all, that's expensive. It's, you know what?
Yes.
So like, I just don't, you know what I mean? If I wanted to do this whole room the way that I wanted to, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm really happy that we did it, but I get in my own head of like, okay, if you're going to hang the pictures, then you have to do the rest of the room.
You have to put up the shelves. You have to put the bookshelves up.
Then I have to do the shelves. Then I have to buy the chairs. Then I, you know what I mean? It just, it's an Instagram thing, I think, or a social media thing where everybody has perfect homes at like this literal snap of a finger. So yeah, I'm glad that we went ahead and did this. I think it looks good and it's not finished yet, but you know.
I feel like it only needs down there in the corner, like two more.
Yeah.
Pictures are like one bigger one right there.
Yeah. And I have like a, we went to the storage unit and got some of like my work memorabilia. So I have a bunch of stuff that needs to be framed. I'll just get like a couple things framed. Perfect. And then, yeah, it'll be good. My name is Callie Dollar and I am grateful for the carpet in our house. It makes Ellie's donks. Falls. It's just nice.
I didn't realize how much we would appreciate having wall-to-wall carpet in the rooms that Ellie plays in versus the hardwoods.
I don't think we haven't had wall-to-wall carpet in.
Mm-mm.
I can't even remember.
I had it upstairs in the townhome. Mm-hmm. In the bedroom, right?
Like in our first townhouse. Yeah, but that was it. And Ellie plays hard. Like, she plays hard. She likes to spin. She likes to pretend fall and stuff like that. This weekend, she actually did have we'll call it an accident. Like, she bumped her head really hard.
Well, she fell, and it was a perfect fall. She hit we have a cabinet right outside the door to our bedroom, and it's metal. And she hit the edge, the corner of the cabinet just so perfectly. I don't know how she did it. Neither Callie or I were looking at her when she stumbled, but you could see the line where she hit the corner perfectly. And I will say, shout out, Callie, to you for a parenting win, because we wanted to put ice on it. You could tell it was going to be it was like one of those cartoon bumps.
It was like a cartoon bump. It was like immediately purple.
Yeah. And so we got ice packs, but Ellie wanted nothing to do with it. And I think that, is this the first donk that she's had on something that's that we've been like, we need to put an ice pack on this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Callie made it into a game to hold the ice pack against her head. And Ellie's head. Like, so they were both doing it at the same time. And then we are counting to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And we made it a game, and Ellie got into the game, and then she took the ice pack to all of her stuffed animals and held it on their head for 10 seconds.
She's like, llama head.
Yeah, and then she would bring it, and then she would bring it back to us, and then we would do it, and we would hold it on. So we probably got to put the ice pack on her head for only a couple minutes, 10 seconds at a time, but it worked.
Yeah.
Like, the swelling went down, and it looked much better the next day and everything, but I'm like, that was good thinking, Callie. Well done.
So we hung the pictures in the studio, we got started hanging the pictures in the studio. I took it upon myself to start hanging peel and stick wallpaper in Ellie's room. Now, I don't know if you've ever done peel and stick wallpaper before, you're like, oof, that's probably the noise that you're making right now. If you haven't, it's harder than it sounds. We had extra from Ellie's nursery at our old house, and it was so beautiful that I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this myself. Now, I had a friend that installed it for me last time. So I've never done it before.
Not just a friend. She's an interior decorator person.
Yeah.
Who gifted you the installation of the peel and stick wallpaper like it's a baby gift. Mm-hmm. And she came over at least four times, spending at least 4 hours each time. Mm-hmm. And some of those times you were helping her.
Yeah.
And the room was smaller. So this is a person who had done it multiple times before with help in a smaller room. And it took her probably 20 hours.
Yeah. Now, how tall would you say the ceilings are?
In this room?
Yeah. They're the same height as Ellie's.
Oh. Is that 12 foot? 12 foot ceilings?
Oh, no. That's not 12 feet. That's like 20 feet. I mean,
isn't 20 feet, is it?
Heck yeah, it is.
No, it's not. 20 feet is like an entryway in a rich person's home.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, we might be rich. Look at these ceilings.
No, 20 feet is like.
Oh my God, you're going to have to measure.
Is there a tape measure up here?
Yeah.
This is.
Go measure it.
You don't even have to. This is, if I was standing on my own head, it's 12 feet. I'm just under 6 feet tall. I'm 5'10".
Okay, fine. We're not rich. We have 12-foot ceilings.
20 feet is like.
Funny that you equate that with like, I don't know. That's just funny.
Yeah, like big fancy houses that have big fancy like chandeliers in the entryway. Those are like 20 mm-hmm. and 25-foot ceilings.
Yeah. Okay, so I.
I take that back about it only being rich people's house, because the front of our house is. That's probably 20 feet.
Got it. Okay.
Because the staircase, when you walk right in our front door, the staircase is right there. And like the chandelier or the light or whatever is called is hanging from the top
yeah.
of the second floor over the door on the first floor, like over the stairs. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah. It does. And it's funny that you equate that with rich people, because I was reading a Reddit thread the other day. I love browsing through Reddit, and it was talking about things when you were younger that you would equate to people being rich. Like for me, it was like in-ground pools. Like if you had an in-ground pool, like you were definitely loaded.
Oh, yeah. That was the same for me.
And for you, it's like high ceilings. Like,
yes.
If you had high ceilings, you were like so rich. I mean, you don't know. You're like 10. But like that's the marker of a 10-year-old when it comes to rich people.
I remember thinking one of my friends from probably middle school had a ton of money because they had a toaster oven.
Oh, my gosh. I had the same thought because we never had a toaster oven. Yep. So that was like luxurious.
Yeah.
Luxurious. That sounded weird when I just said it, but you know what I mean. Anywho, back to the peel and stick. So I may have bit off more than I can chew, but I did start it and I've worked so hard on it. Like there's no going back now. And I would like to say, cause you brought up a point, Jeff, you're like, okay, what's the value of the time here? Maybe we should like try to find someone that one can do it faster and, you know, can you hire someone to do it? I have done so much research and I found people that install regular wallpaper, but I don't know that there's such a thing as people that install peel and stick wallpaper.
Have you called the regular people wallpaper? Like do their ads or whatever say we don't do peel and stick? Like maybe they also do.
Okay, no, and this is silly, but I feel like it's beneath them. Like I feel like people that know how to like, you know, do really, because like installing wallpaper is really hard, right? So I feel like people that do that, like so it's a skill. But I don't feel like this is a skill. I feel like the peel and stick wallpaper, the whole thing is like you're supposed to be able to install it yourself. So I don't know. Maybe I should call. I just feel silly calling and be like, hey, I know that you do really fancy stuff, but can you install my peel and stick wallpaper?
I was making fun of Callie about this weekend until she gave me the look that said, like, please stop making fun of me for this. Not because I don't think you're doing a good job or I'm not proud of you for taking on something new or whatever. I was making fun of you because it's such a Jeff Dollar move to look at the biggest, most intimidating, most cumbersome project and try to take it on without fully thinking of the time investment you need to make. So I was only making fun of you because I'm just happy it's not me. But I'm the type of person who's like, you know what? Why are we going to pay somebody to come paint this room? I can do it. And then I spend like 4 hours taping off all the trim and putting all the drop cloths down.
And you're like, I hate this.
I go to Home Depot. I buy all the stuff. I'm like, okay. And then within like 15 minutes, I spill, you know, paint on the rug or whatever. And I'm like, why am I? And then 4 weeks later, it's still not done.
Yeah.
But everything's still taped off. But the tape is starting to lose adhesive. So it's like starting to crimp. Yeah. That's totally me. So the only reason I'm making fun of you is because.
I may have bit off a lot. I will say, though, it is really, really cathartic. Like, something about having to, like, smooth out lines just – it is so relaxing. And I thought by now I would be like, oh, my gosh, I hate this. But I feel really like it's – I'm channeling some sort of peace. I don't know. It's great. Also this weekend, we watched the movie Tangled, which is like – it's a Disney movie for sure. I don't know if it's like a Pixar movie or whatever, but it's definitely like a kid's movie. And I was floored by how dark it is, and I kind of feel guilty that we let Ellie watch it.
It's only – the dark part about it is just the last, what, 5 minutes – of it, maybe 10, because it's the story of Rapunzel.
Oh, you missed the beginning. You missed the beginning.
Oh, okay.
So the beginning of it, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this movie.
Well, it's Rapunzel. It's the story of Rapunzel, right?
Well, yeah. But if you haven't seen this version of it, like it's like 10 years old, maybe longer. But in the beginning, the whole thing starts out with a baby being kidnapped. That is so.
But isn't that the story of Rapunzel?
Well, I guess. I didn't remember that. Maybe my parents cut that out of the book or something because I didn't remember that. I just remembered, like, girl stuck in a tower. She had pretty blonde hair, which is, you know, I liked. But I did not remember that. So in the beginning, there's a baby that gets kidnapped, which is, like, terrifying. And these parents are, like, grieving and sad and whatever. And then at the end, someone is, like, the main character or whatever is about to be put to death. Like, the love interest guy.
He gets stabbed.
Well, he gets stabbed. It's a little intense.
Oh, yeah. He was about to be executed for a crime.
Yes.
Then he ends up getting stabbed while rescuing the heroine. And then, after that, the little salamander dude trips the main kid, Rapunzel's mom, and she dies.
She, like, falls over a ledge.
Out of the tower. And is that, like... I mean, it's the story, and it's no different than those other, like.
But it's, like, terrifying. I mean, I thought, and granted, this movie, I think, was, like, from, like, 2012. So maybe Disney has, like, you know, come around. But even our movies, like Lion King, terrifying. Beauty and the Beast, terrifying.
Finding Nemo.
I'm not scared of it. I don't think Finding Nemo is that scary. I don't know why.
Finding Nemo is about a kid who gets lost from his.
I know, but
separated from his parents.
Like, it's a little, like, different because he's a fish.
Hmm. Oh, okay. That
you
makes
know what
sense.
I mean? Like, you don't have to see.
But when you think of all, like, the like those old fairy tales, like the old, like, what was it? The Brothers Grimm or whatever.
Brothers Grimm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like, that's like Little Red Riding Hood. Little Red Riding Hood is the wolf's gonna eat her, the big bad wolf, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then Huff and a Puff and I'll Blow Your House Down, the Three Little Pigs. Like, all of those things are horrifying, but for whatever reason, I never processed it as horrifying as a child. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, no, that's – well, yes, but also I was terrified of Lion King as a child. Like, I still have to cover my eyes when the dad thing happens, and then I can watch the rest of it because I love that movie.
I've never seen Lion King. Seen the Broadway play.
It's a classic. It's so good.
I'm not gonna see it now. I'm scared.
Best movie ever. My friend was showing me pictures.
Wait, I have one more thing from this weekend.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I could, after I said on Friday's show that I was feeling disconnected from Callie, she never said this, and she never did anything like, she never said, I'm going to make today all about you. But I know that you made Saturday all about me.
I did.
And it was very sweet.
Do you feel loved? Do you feel a little more connected?
I never felt not loved. I just felt like both of us were just burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
Right? I felt as both of us had so much just stuff going on that we were just disconnected. But normally, like our morning routine is pretty typical, but Callie knows that I would, in a perfect day, like on a perfect Saturday, I would love to get up if the weather is permitting. Mm-hmm. I would love to get up and go for a walk with Ellie and the dogs and Callie, and like we all take a family walk. And so I got out of bed on Saturday morning. Callie had already gotten up, and I came downstairs and she's like, do you want to go for a walk? And we put the leashes on the dogs. We went for a walk with Ellie. And that was really sweet. And then we did the stuff in the office, you know, hung the pictures in the office. And then Callie went to do her wallpaper stuff. And then at night, I was like, I don't feel like cooking tonight. Can we go out? And Callie's like, sure. And I, because my favorite restaurant right now is not Callie's favorite restaurant. Like there's a Mexican spot near us.
Oh, no. I really like it. I just don't always feel like going out.
Well, and now, especially now that you're like not drinking, so like margaritas aren't an option, and you're trying to eat healthier, so cheese dip and
not on
Mexican
the menu
food
for me.
So I threw out like three choices, and there was not even a, well, you know, whatever. She just goes, Mexican's fine, and then we went out to Mexican, and so I thought it was really sweet that you did that. So thank you.
Oh, well, I hope you feel a little more connected now.
Yeah, but cheese dip is the pathway to my heart.
Cheese dip is Jeff's love language.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend, and she was showing me pictures of like her kid going back to school and pictures of the classroom or whatever. I got so excited because I feel like, you know what? When I was in elementary school, I was living large. Like elementary school to me, and I know not everyone has this experience, was like, amazing. It was so fun. Then I started thinking about like the little things that I liked in the classroom. Cause one of the things in the pictures, which is one of my favorite things, is like the weather board where you like change the weather and the date every day.
Okay.
And then like different people get to do that every day.
Okay.
And then the Unifix cubes. Did you have Unifix cubes?
I don't think so. You brought that up. That does not seem at all familiar to me.
I think that I'm going to order some. Okay. For and keep them at my desk because I think they're like a de-stressor. Like you can build things out of them. They're used for counting, I think.
Okay.
But the texture of them, like, oh my gosh, it just brings me so much joy. So I think I'm going to buy them as an adult because that's how much I love them. And I'm going to be really sad if they don't live up to them.
I was trying to remember like, because Callie's like, what are your favorite things about elementary school? I'm going to ask you during the when we record the podcast. And I don't, like the only vivid memory I have from elementary school is a teacher that we had, her name was Miss Pasek, and she had really, really long fingernails,
mm-hmm.
and she was very proud of them. Like that was her brand, like the long fingernails.
Yes, probably like always manicured.
And I think she painted them like really bright colors.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. But outside of her classroom, she had, I think they're homonyms. If you're an elementary English teacher, and I just got that wrong, I'm sorry. But they're words that are pronounced the same, but are spelled differently and have different meanings, like pear,
mm-hmm.
like pear of the fruit, pear.
Your iPhone.
Pair of boots.
Yeah.
Pair, you know, whatever. P-A-R-E is a pair, right? Mm-hmm. That probably wouldn't come up in elementary school, but like pear. And it was a pear tree with bunches of pears that all had like homonyms mm-hmm. on it. I don't know why, but it was in the hall. I don't know why I remember that so clearly, but I remember that tree. But as far as specific toys, I remember the parachute in gym class.
Oh, yeah. Solid choice. Solid choice.
I remember something else about gym. Like, I think like the tumbling stuff, like when they would throw the mats down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think I remember that. And then the other thing I remember is because weather was so wonky where I grew up in upstate New York, that in the spring, when it was the first like proper spring day, like we would be allowed to take our, like teachers would say, we're going to have class outside.
Ooh, that's a good day.
And I'd always remember that. But I don't remember like, I remember a ton of stuff about middle school. Kind of remember high school. I remember the friends, like the friendship stuff in high school, but I really don't have any.
That makes me so sad. I am so excited to like vicariously live through, you know, like friends and Ellie going to school so I can see all the stuff that they get to do. It's so fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for your next comedian here at Ellie's Comedy Club. You're going to love this guy. Welcome to the stage, Dad.
Ellie broke the law the other day. I don't even think she realized it. It's not her fault, but I put her down for her nap in her crib, and she had no interest in sleeping. So after that went on for about 10 minutes, she was charged with resisting arrest, failure to nap.
Have a joke for Ellie's Comedy Club? Have a comment on something we've talked about or an idea for the show? Call or text Callie and Jeff, 800-434-5454.
I have been on an awesome health journey the past couple of months, and it started when I was like, I feel like something's off. I don't know what it is. I don't know why, but I don't feel like myself. And I ordered a Women's Health Everly Well test. Now, if you've been experiencing symptoms and you don't know where to start, Everly Well is committed to listening and supporting your journey towards better health and wellness. The Everly Well Women's Health Test measures 11 biomarkers known to play a role in your overall health and wellness and checks for any abnormal levels that may be keeping you from feeling your best. Then you can take the results of your Everly Well test to your doctor and say, hey, here's what I found out. And it is so cool. They have over 30 at-home lab tests, and you'll be able to choose the test that makes the most sense for you to get the answers you need, like the women's health test or the food sensitivity test. Everly Well ships products straight to you with everything you need in one package. To take your at-home lab test, simply collect your sample and use the included prepaid shipping label to mail your test back to a certified lab. Your physician-reviewed results get sent to your phone or device in just days. Over 1 million people have trusted Everly Well to support their health and wellness goals, and you should too. You can also get vitamins and supplements from them to continue your journey of feeling like the best you. For Upside listeners, Everly Well is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/upside. That's everlywell.com/upside for 20% off your next at-home lab test. everlywell.com/upside.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. How well would you take care of your car if you knew it needed service? Even if you didn't know exactly what was wrong with it, you would find an expert, you would figure out what's wrong with your car, and you would get it back running perfectly. Think of your mental health that way. You might not know exactly what's going on up there, under the hood, so to speak. You might just know that something seems off. This could be something that you've been dealing with your entire life, or it could be something that's new, that's been triggered by the crazy events of the past few years, a new type of stress, a new anxiety, a new inability to sleep. Talk to a professional therapist. Give your mind and your body the same comfort and the same care that you would give your car. I went to therapy. It changed my life. I am a huge advocate, and I want to see you have the same exact experience. Upside listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/upside. BetterHelp Online Therapy will get you in front of a therapist, even if it's just via chat. You don't even have to be on video if you don't want to, within days. And you can get 10% off your first month. BetterHelp.com/upside. That's BetterHelp.com/upside.
When I find a product that I love, I latch on hard. I have been a Rothy's customer for years, a paying customer of Rothy's for years. Here's a couple things that I love about them. One, they are incredibly comfortable. You can take them out of the box, put them on your feet, and go about your day. You will totally forget that you're wearing brand new flats because they're that comfortable. No rubbing, no discomfort, none of that other stuff that usually comes with flats. And teachers, I am looking at you because you're going back to school and you're going to be on your feet. You're going to be chasing kids around. You want to be comfortable. Maybe you also want to be cute. Rothy's are both. And the best part is you can wear them for a long day. You can sweat in them. They can start to smell. And guess what? You can machine wash them. I machine wash mine all the time. People Magazine named The Point the best flat for their first ever style awards. They're so cute. That's what drug me into Rothy's, right? But my favorite style is the loafer style. And they're really cute. They can dress up jeans. And again, they're really comfortable. The best part of Rothy's is everything they make is better for the planet. They've repurposed millions of single-use plastic bottles into their signature thread that goes into every single one of their products. And that is why I'm super proud to spend my money with Rothy's. Step up your shoes and accessories this summer and get ready to be asked, are those Rothy's? Plus, get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/upside. That's rothys.com/upside.
We appreciate our Upside partners, and we appreciate you for supporting them. For more information on any advertiser on the Upside, visit callieandjeff.com.
Dane Cook was in the news last week because he forced everybody who read the news story about him to do math in their head. And probably go, ooh, oh, he is currently 50 years old, right? Mm-hmm. He just got engaged to a 23-year-old woman. Mm-hmm. So good for him. Whatever. Wonderful. Like if that's your person, age ain't nothing but a number. Good for you, sir. Except in every article was the statement that they had been together for 5 years. Which means when he was 45, like when they met, she was 17 or 18. And he was in, and then that part of it is like,
you know what? Like, just really, because I immediately did the math. I mean, that was like the first thing that I did when I saw the article. And, you know, again, like, age, whatever. But you do, I can't.
You do you.
You do you. I can't imagine you being attracted to an 18-year-old right now.
Well, the thing that's just, it's funny about that. I mean, funny or however you want to look at it, gross, whatever word you want to use to describe it.
Interesting.
Interesting about that is just when you're 17 or 18 years old, the things that you're stressed about involve like the homecoming dance, getting accepted to college, you know, Becky always asking you to cover shifts at P.F. Chang's, but never picking up any of yours.
Right.
Those are the things, you know what I mean? Like mom and dad telling you that if you don't get a job or go to college, they're going to stop paying the insurance on your car.
Well,
like those are the things that, and so when she calls him at that age and he's in his mid 40s and says, oh my God, I had the worst day. Oh, you know, what's wrong? Like, and she's like, I don't know. I lost my job at Jamba Juice. Like, what is?
Oh my gosh! It just, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I don't
even at 20. I also think about like myself at 23. I know a lot of people get married young and like know what they're doing. I was a like hot mess when I was 23.
Yeah, I don't have the age. The age of her getting married is whatever, but that's not what I want to talk about. That just reminded me of something that I learned about Dane Cook recently.
Okay.
So I probably shouldn't have like set it up that way because now people who didn't know the engagement story are going to be like, oh, he's creepy or whatever, but okay, wait, disregard
before
that.
Before we get to the story, he's a comedian, right?
Yeah. And an actor.
Okay.
So maybe like 10, I don't know when this happened, but he's up and coming. Mm-hmm. He's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He calls his brother up and he's like, his brother was like a prison guard.
Okay.
At the time. He calls his brother up and he's like, I want to hire you basically to be my business manager and handle everything. He's like, I'll figure out, like, I'll make sure you get paid the same amount that you're getting paid now mm-hmm. and more. But things are just, and this is like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Things are just going really, really well for me. And I don't have time to pay my bills and do that side of like, make sure that people are paying me what they promised me, yeah. all that stuff. I don't have time to do it. And his brother's like, yeah, I'll do it. So for his entire career, Dane Cook's brother has been his business manager.
Yeah.
And I don't know the exact timing of this story. So this it happened years and years and years ago. But at some point, Dane Cook, who I believe is from Massachusetts or somewhere in the Northeast, decides to move to Los Angeles full-time mm-hmm. to pursue his entertainment career. And he moves out there. He gets settled in. He starts networking with people. He starts meeting people. And he meets somebody who's a business manager for actors and comedians mm-hmm. and stuff. So he calls his brother up and he says to his brother, hey, at the start of next year, I want to have this person taking over my business stuff. I'm going to find a different role for you. You're still going to be on my payroll. You're still going to make salary. Like maybe you'll be in charge of merchandise, maybe whatever, but just start getting everything in order for this new business manager. His brother says, yeah, no problem. Starts doing it. And then, but the new business manager doesn't get any files, doesn't get any emails, doesn't get any FedExes. So it goes on for a few months where Dane's brother is like, yeah, I'm taking care of it. Dane's telling the business manager, yeah, he's just busy. Turns out Dane Cook's brother stole every penny that he ever made. Every penny.
His brother?
Millions.
Oh, my God.
Millions and millions. His brother's in jail now.
What?
And I think his sister-in-law. I think his brother's wife was in on it, too. They're in – at least the brother – I mean, I don't know if he's in jail now, but he went to jail for
fraud.
All this financial fraud, stole his entire brother's net worth with the exception of – and Dane Cook has made millions. Mm-hmm. With the exception of a couple $100,000 that were like invested into the stock market.
Yeah.
Because – his brother's name wasn't attached to it. Like,
yeah.
So he had no way to access it. But every dollar that his brother had access to, he stole. And the wildest part about the story is years after it happened, or at some period of time after it happened, Dane Cook gets a phone call from like one of the police investigators or whoever investigates those types of crimes. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, we got some good news for you. And Dane's like, okay. They're like, we found $800,000 in cash in the wall of your brother's home.
Oh my gosh.
So he's like, he just squirreled it away.
Okay. If somebody did that to me, I would never trust anyone ever again.
Right.
I would have like the biggest trust issues ever.
Right.
Because first of all, it happened. Second of all, it's your blood.
Right.
Like it's someone that you're supposed to trust, well, with your life, I guess. But oh my God.
I have so many more questions about it. It was a podcast interview. I don't even know. I wish I remembered what show. Because I wasn't actually listening to the podcast. Mm-hmm. It came up like on an Instagram story or something,
yeah.
or maybe a TikTok, where it was just a clip of the podcast. And it was so fascinating. Like, listening to him tell the story broke my heart.
That's horrible.
Yeah. So now I feel bad for like starting the thing off going, oh, he's got a 23-year-old. Girlfriend or fiance now, like and being like, nah, and then saying this, but triggered it. So, anyways, yeah,
that was a long journey, wasn't it? It is micro anxiety Monday. Jeff Dollar, what you got?
Do you have one or is it
just me? I don't have one. It's just you.
Pressure is on. This might pertain more to work stuff, and maybe I'm just way behind. Maybe everybody already does this, but all of the email that I use is Gmail based. Mm-hmm. And so that includes, like, I've had a Gmail email address forever, but also our work email for like 1022 and even for Callie and Jeff are all rooted in Gmail. So yeah. They all have this feature that allows you to pause your inbox. And I never used it. And I started dabbling with it a couple months ago. And now I just have it set up to a schedule so that all of my emails kind of come in bulk at once, twice a day, because just the way my brain works, if there's emails in my email box, I'm like, oh, I got to answer these, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so if I log in, and like I mentioned last week, historically I've used my inbox as like a to-do list, which just involves me rescheduling and re-putting emails back in. It's just, it was a terrible thing. So when I moved from using my email as a to-do list to having like a different method, then combining that with the pause inbox thing, it has made a huge efficiency improvement.
Settings in Gmail. Do you know what it's called?
It's called pause inbox. For Gmail, it's in the upper left-hand corner, but I think they have the same thing. I know they have it for Outlook because we had Outlook at my last job, mm-hmm. and it was a feature there. But if you've never messed around with it, it's worth trying. And if you're panicked, because my reason I would never try is I'm like, oh, what if an urgent email comes in?
Right.
Guess what? Those don't exist.
That's true.
If something's urgent, it's a text message. If something's really urgent, it's a phone call.
Here are today's three random things. My first random thing is there's a list from Lysol about the germiest hotspots in the office. I would like to preface this story by saying, or this random thing by saying, wash your hands. Right. That's it. Because all of these are preventable if people would just wash their hands. Okay. Okay. Here they are. Do you want to guess or do you want me to read them to you?
I know what one of them is going to be because I read it a gazillion years ago and have never used this device the same way.
Okay.
Elevator buttons.
Elevator buttons. That is true. I still have one of those like things on my keychain.
This little elevator button pokers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Entrance areas, coffee machine handles, refrigerator doors.
I never would have thought of that. The coffee pot handle in the break room.
Or we just, at our job, we have like the buttons. Like, I bet those buttons are so nasty.
Anything. Because nobody thinks to clean that.
refrigerator doors, kitchen sink, taps and handles, door handles. And then your keyboard and mouse, telephone, share with printers, like the conference room.
The buttons on a copy.
When do you think the last time it's the conference room chairs that have been nice and Lysoled?
That's a good point.
That is nasty.
Think of if you have don't most offices have like network printers, mm-hmm. where like you print something and then you go pick it up down the hall. Mm-hmm. All the buttons and those things, if you have to like make copies, mm-hmm. or nobody cleans that.
Nobody.
Like the bathrooms every night get cleaned.
Right.
Sometimes in the middle of the day, they also get cleaned.
Yeah.
The handle to the coffee pot.
That makes me just like so nauseous even thinking about it. I'm just like going to wear 24/7 gloves in the office and wash your hands, people.
Your second random thing is from Häagen-Dazs. They say that if you have ice cream at your house, when you take it out of the freezer, just let it sit on the counter before you touch it for exactly 2 minutes, because that allows uncovered. So open it, mm-hmm. just leave it on your counter for just 2 minutes, which allows it to reach a more full and rich consistency and flavor.
I do that anyway.
Then spoon it into your bowl and leave it for 2 more minutes, then eat it.
I do that anyways, especially with like like yasso bars and stuff like that. Yeah. If you leave it out for 1 minute, it's like the perfect texture and you're not like, you know, I don't know. I hate biting into things that are really, really frozen. Like you can't enjoy the flavor. And your third random thing is, I know that I joke around and we all joke around about saying, I'm going to burn my house down over a roach, a bug. Maybe it's a nasty spider. Maybe you're an unfortunate person that had a snake in your house. And I'm sorry. But a survey says that a third of Americans would think about burning down their house because of bugs.
Yeah. Depends on the level of infestation, but I'd be like, yeah, it could be an option.
I mean, really gross. 52% of people have considered moving because of bugs. And of those 52%, 69% of those people actually picked up and moved because they're like, this house is too buggy. I'm out. No, no, sir. And those are your three random things.
Thank you for listening to The Upside with Callie and Jeff. Most people learn about The Upside from their friends. Please tell everyone you know about this podcast so the amazing Upside community can continue to grow.
We have mentioned on the show several times that one Sadie Dollar is on a diet as recommended by her veterinarian. I can tell you what her veterinarian would not want her eating, and that would be the leftover, what are those? The Swiss cake rolls and the Doritos that we left in the studio over the weekend.
We do a really good job of, in the kitchen, if there is food left out, putting it to the center of the island, because Sadie, since she's been on her diet, has become a little bit more of a crowd surfer or counter surfer.
She's a counter surfer.
So we move everything away from the edge to remove temptation. Did not do that in the studio with some Cool Ranch Doritos and Swiss cake rolls. So I came up Friday night because we did that. I guess it would have been Thursday night because we recorded that episode on Thursday. And it looked like the room looked like the remnants of a sleepover with a bunch of 12-year-olds. Because there are Cool Ranch Dorito bags on the floor, little individual bags. There's the Swiss cake roll things on the floor. Sadie is now protesting us, telling the story about her.
She is. She's like, you guys are so rude. You don't need to tell my friends that I was licking cellophane.
Hey, happy Friday. Listening to today's episode about the Swiss cake rolls. And no, I totally disagree with you. Unpopular opinion here. They are the best. Oh my gosh, we still buy those today. So I don't think those have gone anywhere. And just a little secret. They are so much better if you put them in the refrigerator, and then that way the chocolate doesn't stick to the wrapper. So that's a game changer. Try them again, put them in the refrigerator, and let them get a little bit cold, and then eat one. Oh, they are the best. I love them. No, they can't go away. But I'm with you on the Cool Ranch Doritos. Those seem to get better and better. And those two are always in our, not always in our house, but we buy them frequently, I would say. And can't wait to get to Publix. I haven't tried the Tillamook ice cream, so I will this week. All right, have a great weekend. Bye.
I was just listening to Friday's episode, and y'all were talking about Zoe's Kitchen and saying all the ones around you closed and how good their chocolate cookies are. I just want to let you know I work at Emory University, and there is a Zoe's Kitchen in Emory Village. So I don't know how far that is from y'all, like North Druid Hills area, but it's very good. So hit it up if you need some chocolate chip cookies. Bye.
Hi, it's Kathy. You mentioned Zoe's Kitchen. Oh my goodness, those chocolate chunk cookies were my absolute favorite. My self-reward, I loved them and I miss them so much. Another almost as good is Mellow Mushrooms chocolate chunk cookies. You got to try one. But be sure to save one for me. Love you guys. Bye.
I've reached the last years of my I'll be so glad when they're out of diapers. I'll be so glad when they start school. I'll be so glad when they're out of school. I'll be so glad when this, when that. I wasted so much time on that. I'm not trying to be that old wise woman giving you advice, but if I could tell you one thing, don't postpone joy. Find your joy in what's happening today, because that's where it lies.